Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to So I Go to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take the iconic questions of fictional lady journalist Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. You are listening to Secret Service slut Dylan B. Jones and all the way from Macon, Georgia, I'm Juno Dawson. Hello.
Hello. But the question is, do you own a scrunchie?
You know, I do. Many. They're very back in fashion, though.
Well, I was thinking, we'll get into this, but there's a bit of irony to that scene now, because the scrunchie is on the other head in some ways with Carrie.
This was pre-Bushwick era, because now, like, can you imagine, especially in Brooklyn and Williamsburg, you've got all the kind of the Lana Del Rey girlies shoving their hair in a top knot.
Oh, yeah, the sad girls.
Wearing a duvet down the street while they've got a coffee. Like the Mary-Kate Olsen girlies.
Kind of. A nice Balenciaga bin bag and and a Rolly.
However, in 2002, Carrie probably had a point, actually. it harks back to the earliest days of So I Got to Thinking when we used to rate the episodes.
Yeah, out of scrunchies. 4 out of 5 scrunchies. I think we gave Models and Mortals, was it? I can't remember.
That sounds, should we revive? Maybe just for 1 week only, we should revive the rating system.
Yeah, we'll rate this one out of scrunchies at the end.
I think it's a very strong week, if I'm honest. But Dylan, do you have a potted synopsis?
I do indeed. So, Carrie and Berger get into an altercation, as we've just referenced, over a scrunchie.
Scrunchie!
Because Carrie has just read Aiden? Berger. Freudian slip.
Oh, wow. Luckily she doesn't do that.
We're not on And Just Like That yet.
Damn.
My head hurts. What was I saying? Yes, Carrie has just read Berger's book. Is it his debut? It's not his debut book, is it? It's his new book.
It's his first novel.
Yeah.
Because I think there only is, but we also know he's won a Pulitzer. So I don't know what he won the Pulitzer for.
Oh God, yeah, I forgot about that. Maybe
you can win Pulitzers for articles and stuff. Maybe he wrote a short story for the New Yorker, like Dan Humphries in Gossip Girl.
Yeah, or maybe he invented the Post-it.
Wow, that'll bite Carrie on the ass, yeah.
Yes, so they get into, predictably get into an altercation about that. Miranda is very liberated when she discovers the adage, he's just not that into you, from Berger. And she proceeds to use it on herself and others to varying success, which is a great scene, and you know the one that I mean.
I do.
Samantha is, as we said before we came on air, Samantha-ing around.
Samantha is Samantha-ing this week.
It's her and Smith. It's her and not quite Smith Jared yet. Her and Jared. Doing
fucking
various
outside the box.
Yes, I love a man who fucks outside the box. Just doing various role plays. And then Charlotte is Oh, Charlotte and Harry. Charlotte screws things up with Harry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's sad.
Charlotte.
Sad, but relatable.
Yeah. And in fact, Charlotte's too hard this week.
Yeah. That's the problem. Charlotte's too close to the sun. Yeah.
we've all been there.
I think this is a very iconic episode. A lot of this episode has sort of found its way into the strata of my friendship group.
Absolutely.
There
me
are
too.
So many quotable moments from this episode, from the scrunchie to memes, Samantha's meme about I'm stubborn and demanding and always right.
Yeah.
So much of this episode sort of broke through pop culture-wise. And I think that speaks very highly of Sex and the City. That's six years in. It was still having this impact. And, you know, we were just saying earlier that there are a few TV shows that can still remain relevant 6 years in.
Yes. But I'd be hard pressed to. I was having a think. One that we've discussed before, which certainly is a show that certainly has its issues, but is one that did stick it out for a good six seasons, is Homeland. If anything, it gets better as it goes on, in my opinion.
Oh, see, I gave up at season three.
Oh.
So I couldn't tell you what happens.
Interesting, interesting. I mean, Homeland's one of those shows that I feel slightly uncomfortable watching for various reasons. Mm. but Claire Danes is amazing.
That's true. I mean, Buffy... Yeah. You know, if you didn't have... I know there's a real argument to say it should have stopped at season five when Buffy dies. But if you didn't have season six, you wouldn't get Dark Willow.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't get the music. You wouldn't get the musical episode if there was no season six.
Do you know what? I've watched a couple of British TV shows recently. I've watched Back to Life, which is incredible. Which is... I've forgotten her name, but it's about a woman who... I've forgotten the actor's name, but it's about a woman who gets out of prison after murder and adjusts to life.
I know the one you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's Daisy Haggard.
Daisy Haggard, that's the one. And I've just finished Happy Valley as well. And it made me think, I really do like the British TV show trend of just stopping after like two or three seasons and leaving people wanting more. Like, that's great. frustrating, but good.
Well, Succession is drawing a line. Succession is airing now and the fourth season will be the last. So I think
Was it fifth?
No, it's the fourth season.
Oh.
Yeah, only four seasons of Succession, yeah, and that is it.
I think that's right. I think that's good. Yeah.
Anyway, back to what was it? Pick a little, talk a little.
Yes.
Yep. Pick a little, talk a little.
Episode four.
Episode four of season six. Let's start off with Carrie and Berger.
Yeah.
Now, if you weren't having reservations about Jack Berger after the frog machine, you should definitely be having reservations about Jack Berger now. Although it starts off quite well.
Yes, with when he meets the friends.
Yeah. I love introducing. Obviously, I've been with Max for years now, but when there is something really, really fun about introducing your friends to a guy or a girl that you're dating.
Mm.
It's very exciting. It's quite nerve-wracking because if your friends don't like your partner, then that's a Debbie Downer.
Mm.
Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever introduced someone to your friends and they've not liked them?
Yes, I have.
Was it Chris?
No, no, I've introduced friends to partners and the partner has been like, oh my God. But I don't know, like my friends are quite intense. And actually the friend in particular in question, I no longer speak to anymore because he was very sort of unlikable. But it's not just that reason.
God, I wonder if it's who I think it is. I think I know who you're talking
about. Oh, interesting. We can talk about it after the break or during the break.
Of course, during the break.
But Chris, yeah, I threw Chris in at the deep end with my friends. I took him to a show that one of my friends was performing in and all my other friends were at. And they all got on very well with him. And we had that moment. I love the moment in this one where Miranda mouths, I love him. To carry. And I think when Chris went to the toilet, like all of my friends were like, oh my God, he's amazing, blah, blah, blah.
He's such a hunk of spunk.
Yeah.
Was there an Australian friend there? Did they call him a hunk of spunk?
A hunk of spunk.
I'm trying to think back now. I'm trying to rewind to when Max first met my friends. I think he met them in Dribs and Drabs, which probably helps. I don't think there was that sense of it being like Dragon's Den, kind of where, where you stand before a panel of friends, kind of. I think he met them in little sporadic lumps, kind of. But I can't remember. I can't actually remember those. I remember him meeting my friend Damien, if you're listening. Hello, Damien. I remember him meeting, because I think he met Damien first, but I'm not sure. But they liked him, so it's fine. But I also think it's, and I think this episode captured it really well, I think introducing your boyfriend to your friends can be really good foreplay as well. It's almost like a self-rewarding loop of like people are congratulating you on your choices and that arouses you or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because, and then when they get back, they each say I love you to each other, don't they?
Yeah, which a bit premature for me, Carrie.
Yeah, I mean, I also wasn't quite convinced. I felt like they had kidded themselves. I don't know. I felt like they were sort of, they love the idea of each other, but they don't actually love each other, I don't think.
And again, we've discussed they're too similar to ever work, possibly.
Yes. Yeah.
Now here comes the red flag. As an author, how much does Royal Coven out now? As an author, would I ever send someone I was sleeping with a copy of my book? No. Because that's insane.
No.
And I know I have author friends who listen to this. Author friends, if that's what you do to people you're sleeping with, I judge you.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, I've written bits and pieces before. Chris has never read any of them.
Any of your journalism?
Oh, yeah, my journalism, obviously. Yeah. But, like, because that's, like, out there for everyone to read. Mm. But, like, bits of like fiction pieces that I've done in a similar vein to Berger. Chris hasn't read them because
I know. So it weirded me out again. Sorry to land my husband in the mix of things. Before our first date, somehow Max had figured out who I was and read the gender games,
right?
Which I found actually quite off-putting because. While it did give us stuff to talk about, it was almost like giving him an unfair advantage. Although at the same time, your book is, it's a facade. It's especially memoir. You know, it's a version of yourself that you've put out into the world. I wouldn't say Gender Games is a flattering version of me, but it's certainly a controlled version of me. It's the version of me that I wanted people to read. So no, that especially a novel, because a novel, it's such a taste thing. Max doesn't read a lot of my novels because they're just not to his taste. He likes super, super high fantasy and science fiction, and that's not what I write. So, Berger sending Carrie the book with the phrase, "So you love me, but can you love my book?"
Oh, that is
honestly
so...
makes me want to pay someone to kill him.
But he is the male. This proves further that he is the male Carrie, because that's a Carrie move. That's what she would do. And then
do you think she'd already sent him a copy of her book?
Yeah. And then when it's only been 2 days, he shows up at her flat and he's like, "Oh, what have you been doing? Like, why haven't you finished it yet? It's 400 pages long." Like, what? Oh.
That would take me at least 3 months to read. That's a 3-month commitment for me. I'm quite a slow reader.
But then Carrie, I do think Carrie... she's not exactly in the wrong, but it was certainly a mistake. And she does realise this later. To the first thing that she... I mean, granted, she does say, "I love it." But then the first thing she says is like a criticism about like this minor thing. That there's a woman in the book wearing a scrunchie. If Carrie knew writers, she would know that like you do not open with a criticism.
Yes, that's the point. I was about to say, because I've just done this. As much as I wanted to come on here and roast Carrie, my husband just came to pick me up from the station and I've not seen him for a week. And before saying "I love you," I was like, "Why are you wearing a hat?" So what the fuck is wrong? What the fuck is wrong with us? Should women just shut the fuck up? The question we will be answering this week. But yeah, no, I think that's the difference. You've actually hit the nail on the head, which is, number one, Carrie has not been with Berger for 5 years. And number two, she knows he's a writer.
And she knows he's insecure.
Yeah, this is true, so, because how shitty is in bed, yeah.
Why is she opening with a... But then to be fair, when her and Miranda are walking along afterwards, Carrie herself is like, why?
She recognises it.
Why did I have to do the scrunchie?
No, it's one of the phrases that I say in my life. Why did I have to get on my sassy horse?
Yeah.
Me and my friends, we all... And it's one of the... Again, I forgot it came from Sex and the City. We've been talking about the sassy horse since 2002. You know, when you know, it's that moment when you know you've gone too far and you're like, oh shit, that wasn't cute, I was being horrible.
It's like, why did I take issue with them, like, I don't know, not finishing half of their tea or something?
Yeah, it's like when you think you're being funny but actually you're just being a dickhead,
and then a split it's and you realize a split second after it's come out of your mouth.
Yeah. We all need to watch The Sassy Horse. It lives inside us. I like the idea that you've got to get on the sassy horse. So it's like an imaginary horse that you have to climb on.
And you can
and then
choose.
You become really mean.
You can choose to let it run free and wild without you.
You don't have to get on it. Yeah, just let you, when you see it coming, let it gallop past.
So Miranda says, all women pick, it's in our DNA. I think everyone picks, everyone in a relationship. Anyone who's been in a relationship will pick. Not just women, obviously.
I don't know why it's so weird. It must be something to do with some sort of equation with proximity and comfort. Because the only people that I would pick on would be my mum and my sister and Max.
Yeah.
That's not fair. That's not really the...
I was going to say it's family as well. Like, there are things that... Yeah, there are things that, and it's completely illogical, but I think you're right. I think it's to do with being so comfortable with someone that you know that you can be an arsehole to them, basically, which is awful. Yeah.
Why? Maybe that was the question. Why are we so horrible to the people we like the most?
Yeah.
It doesn't really make any sense, does it? And even sat here, I don't mean to do it. And I think it's innate, you know. Carrie mentions as well, you know, gorillas grooming each other in the wild.
Oh, yeah.
Although that's different. That's actually an example of altruistic behaviour. They've done lots of researches with apes. And if you want somebody to pick your nits off, you also have to pick off someone's nits.
Well,
monkeys who don't pick off nits do not get their nits picked off.
Are monkeys communists?
The socialist structure of bonobo chimps. So that's her unfortunately her monkey allegory is not quite right. But maybe Miranda has a point. Maybe it is in our DNA. There must be a reason. It's whether you call it nagging or picking. I don't think it's just women. I've seen male friends. Again, it's that thing, not going to name any names, but you know, it's that moment where you're getting ready to go out and somebody's male partner says, is that what you're wearing? And you're like, whoa! Oh, not on today. Yeah. It's very that. I think men and women are just equally guilty of it, to be honest.
Yeah, oh, totally. But I think there's usually one in a relationship who picks more, perhaps. I don't know. But I know.
I think I maybe pick more than Max. But Max does pick. He doesn't. He's not immune.
And then how does it end? Oh, it ends really uncomfortably with Carrie and Berger. Like when she tries to rectify her error by like heaping like so much praise on him, and it's just
She should have let it go. I think so. I think she basically she just does everything wrong that you can go wrong.
Yeah.
I think in time, you like to imagine Berger would have realised he was being ridiculous.
Yeah.
If Carrie hadn't kept the fight alive.
But then I love when I did laugh when he's like, I don't pick out your mistakes, and then he's like, nice hat.
Yeah, what a cunt! Yeah, oh my god.
And she's like, it's fabulous, and you just said that to hurt me.
That said, in this world, in this binary world, two things can be true. Carrie's hat is horrible.
Yeah.
Berger is a dick for saying it's horrible. So you see, two things can be true.
That's true. And it's like we were saying, it's funny how this episode has aged. Like, for the first time, I haven't rewatched it in a while, but for the first time I was like, Carrie, when she was slagging off the women's scrunchie, I was like, you're one to talk. You've worn a fascinator to a restaurant. So, I mean, that's equally ridiculous.
I mean, I love the lady from Macon, Georgia with her scrunchie.
Yeah.
I mean, and as well, speaking of picking, Carrie could have just let that one go.
Yeah.
When they saw the woman in the restaurant and she mutters under breath, she's not from New York. Just let it go, Carrie. Just let it go.
But I did love like the start of that scene when they both see the scrunchie and they're both just sort of like looking at it like it's this pink scrunchie in the room. Carrie, I mean,
teenage girls now use scrunchies in some sort of elaborate hanky system, don't they?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
If you wear a scrunchie around your wrist, it means you have a boyfriend or something.
Oh, wow.
If you are a listener and you're a teenage girl or a mother or father of teenage girls, please feel free to get in touch with us and explain the scrunchie code. Maybe it varies from school to school, but yeah, if you have a scrunchie around your wrist, you're taken.
Wow.
I believe that's the code, yeah.
Do you remember shag bands?
What?
At my school, it was shag bands. So they were like the tiny little thin elastic bracelets that you used to wear. And like different colour combinations meant different things.
What?
What?
No. What were the different colour combinations?
I can't remember. They were little plastic bands and they were in like neon colours. And they were like 50p each from the corner shop. And if you wore like green with red, I can't remember. But yeah, very complicated.
And they all meant different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you want to advertise that?
I don't know.
Isn't that strange how humans do that? Obviously, if you're not familiar, the gay hanky code was through the 80s. That signified your sexual proclivities.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know why you just didn't tell people, but...
Well, yeah, and that's why it's extra... unnecessary and amusing in schools, because schools are small enough that like surely everyone knows whether like Tracy has a boyfriend or not.
So I mean, the episode resolves with Carrie managing, or rather we unearth that Burger is actually having a difficult time with his book. He apparently, it's not selling particularly well, and Carrie's criticism of his character, we've actually contextualized it. Carrie criticizes the fact that he has a female character in his book who is a fashion editor in New York who would not be caught dead in a scrunchie, and yet Burger has her running around town in a scrunchie. And so Burger, it sort of somehow internalizes this very gentle criticism of this is why his book hasn't sold well. But again, so many red flags. Like, is this man so insecure
and
about his profession?
The ways that he expresses it are just so, like it's a rare example of, like, I think Carrie was actually being quite patient in some bits, because there were some of his behaviour I would have just been like, right, see you later. I'm not going to talk to you anymore tonight. You clearly need to just cool off.
Like, you can give me a ring when you've stopped being a little asshole.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, the first signs of, well, not the first, but like, one of many signs of trouble for Carrie and Burger.
It's there from the beginning. He's flaky. He's bad in bed. He has a fucking frog machine.
Yeah.
He cusses out his girlfriend when clearly it takes two to tango. And now he can't take the most gentle criticism. And this is why, if there was a Burger spin-off, it would be a tale of awful decline, because if you cannot handle rejection, then being a writer is absolutely not the job for you.
Yeah, do a different job.
Like, Christ. The world doesn't owe you a good review. One of my friends once told me that when my first book came out, which is, you know, you like your book, that's great. Nobody else is forced to like your work. And if Burger can't stand next to his own work, then I suggest he does something else. Let's take a little break, and then when we get back, we will talk about the others. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Hold up. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello. Welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week we are talking about season 6, episode 4, Pick a Little, Talk a Little. We need to also address the question, are there times in a woman's life where she should shut the fuck up? And this comes about, of course, from Smith Gerrard's, or Jerry Gerrard's, fantastic, shut the fuck up! Just shut the fuck up!
No, you shut the fuck up and fuck me!
Before my husband gets home! Which is important, because consent is important, even in weird fantasy role play, kids. I wonder if that one had to go past, like, we can't even do rape role play. Like, it has to be very clear that fake burglar Smith Gerrard is not even fake raping Samantha Jones. Mm.
So this is Samantha's fantasies. And they even have, I thought it was interesting, they have Charlotte saying, like, that's incredibly offensive. Violence against women is a serious issue. Like, right after.
Work Charlotte. Yeah, Work Charlotte was there for real.
And then Samantha says, it's a fantasy. Fantasies can't be censored. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that, but with stipulations, I think.
That's a really difficult conversation to have, isn't it? Because what I will say is, and I think it's true, is that there is a definite divide between your fantasy life and your sex life.
Yeah, yeah.
And the two don't even need to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's part of kind of sexual discovery, I think, during your 20s, which is kind of what works as a wank fantasy and what you actually like in real life. Because I think that can be two very different things.
Oh, often they're two very different things, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think like a personal fantasy, there's no reason to censor that as long as it's, you know, making you happy.
No, and I mean, if it's something that people would take offence at, you know, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really difficult, isn't it? And this is something that, you know, Madonna's been talking about since she released the sex book in 92, you know, which is, you know, that she was punished for sharing her sexual fantasies. Of which it was insinuated in Madonna's sex book that she was depicting rape scenes, which she has since denied. And it's really complicated because, you know, why should Madonna be, or any person be persecuted for something that's just in their head? Mm. I mean, that is literally the thought police, isn't it? It feels quite minority report or something.
Yeah, completely. I love Samantha when she's answering the phone to doctor at that time. They're doing a doctor doctor role play, and he calls her when she's in the middle of drinks with the girls, and she says he thinks I may have the mumps, and then as she's walking away you just hear her say, yes, I'm swollen.
Oh god, I mean, I don't want to know how that one ended. I like the accountant Take the shirt off my back. And then we had Secret Service sluts. We had sort of like femme fatale Samantha. Mm. And this is where things get interesting. Because by this point, if you were like, why the fuck is this guy sticking around? Like, why is this kind of Kendall himba waiter slash actor? Why are we on now our third episode with this character? I think we get our answer in that all of a sudden they expand and add depth to Jerry Gerrard in that he reveals, in which I think is a very good scene actually, the way he reveals he's in AA when Samantha's role play forces him out of character.
Mm. Yeah, and she freaks out and flees the bar, which is very like bad form on her part, obviously. I slightly didn't buy a couple of parts of it. I'm not sure how long they're supposed to have known each other. I found it strange that she didn't know.
They've never been out to a restaurant or a bar before. Although we mostly saw them around her apartment.
That's true. Yeah.
But no, you're right. It's unthinkable that she hasn't offered him a glass of wine or.
Maybe
he swerved it before. We don't know, but.
And also, Samantha would be way more open-minded than to dismiss someone because they were alcoholic. But I think it's not supposed to be because he's alcoholic. It's supposed to be her being a commitment phobe, isn't it? More than anything.
You know, and he calls later when he summons her out of retirement to be a Secret Service slut. He calls her harsh.
Yeah.
When she's like, I don't want to know about you. and she's like, yes, I am harsh. But you're right. It's much more about Samantha and nothing to do with his alcoholism. Mm. But it's interesting. It doesn't really tie into our question of the week about should women just shut the fuck up? Because actually, Smith and Samantha kind of almost have the opposite problem, which is, neither of them are saying anything as themselves. Mm. Kind of that, you know, they are. But I think that it's, you know, for 6 years now, we've dealt with Samantha's intimacy kind of issues. Obviously, post Richard, things have been, she hasn't really dated anyone since Richard Wright as well. So it was nice. I guess the thematic link at the end is that they do finally talk.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
Which is nice. And we learn that he is somehow called Jerry Gerrard. Jerry Gerrard.
And yeah, it's nice that like panning shot away from them when they're both like finally talking and laughing at the restaurant. And he's in it until the first movie.
For the duration now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of should women just shut the fuck up, we have Charlotte losing the plot over her first Shabbat dinner.
Oh, Charlotte. Fashion in this reminded me of Marsha from Drag Race.
Yeah, it's definitely Patricia Field and co are definitely doing a little bit of kind of role play, treading a very fine line of almost costuming.
Yeah.
But you can see again, so their excuse was also sometimes the women are so high on life, they are slightly cosplaying. And it feels like at this point in time, Charlotte is really, really excited and invested in her new religious identity.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that she's leaning into Jewish housewife, I guess.
Yeah, I got bored of, I was thinking of our conversation last week with Rachel, and I got bored of the constant Jewish puns in the voiceover, like Martha Jewett and doodled instead of doodled. And by the third one, I was like, oh, like, shut up.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Like, yeah, we get it. You can make the word Jew into a joke. Like, yeah. Whatever.
I mean, I'm guessing there was probably, I like to think there were Jewish writers working across these episodes.
Mm.
But I think Charlotte's meltdown. So to set the scene, she's prepared an incredibly lavish Shabbos dinner and Harry comes in and puts on the baseball. I'd be fucking fuming.
Oh, so would I.
As
yeah.
well.
So would
because, I. Because when you've gone to a lot of effort and that effort is not being recognised, that clearly my wife wants this to be special.
Yeah.
And I am taking the special out of it.
Any moral high ground she might have had is completely imploded when she said, "Do you know how lucky you are to have me?" Oh,
yeah.
When she said that, I mean,
it was a really rapid downward slope of horror in that she just, I want you to turn that off right this minute. Patronizing,
yeah.
But oh, don't speak to him like he's a child, but okay.
Yeah.
Like her five matzo balls. But yeah, then when it descends into set the date, you know, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, Charlotte, you've lost it. And again, the worst part of everything is like you said, it's the do you know what people think when they see us together. Oh, Charlotte, it is unforgivable. It's unforgivable.
Yeah. And sure enough,
Harry gets the fuck out.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, and I forgot this, like, the episode ends with you kind of thinking, oh, well, we're never going to see Harry again, that's it, she's fucked it. Mm-hmm. But he does come back. I can't remember how that happens. We'll find out next week. But
we'll find out in a couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tricky because, so the question this week is, given after Samantha feeds back the shut the fuck up role play.
Yeah.
Carrie is so regretful at having criticized Berger's novel. Like, she's like, should women just shut the fuck up? No, Carrie. Women should not shut the fuck up. I think
people should sometimes know when to be quiet sometimes. Anyone is, I think, how we can read it.
The preamble to the question does talk about when, at what point does constructive criticism become destructive?
Yeah.
You know, and so is this about communication, as it so often is with Sex and the City? Was there a way that Carrie could have... Oh, I don't know. But because the problem is... So in Carrie's example, actually, I don't think Carrie is the problem. The problem is that Berger is wildly oversensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if somebody had said to me the scrunchy thing, I would have been like, oh God, really? And sometimes you do. Sometimes people, you might read a bit in a review and you're like, actually, fair enough, actually. Yeah. But I think that, you know, if Berger really can't take any criticism, that one is on Berger.
Yeah.
In terms of Charlotte, there is a parallel world where she was able to have that conversation with Harry without being an absolute wanker and, you know, really vile. That sentence about, do you know how lucky you are to have me, unforgivable.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, and also, like, it's important to not feel like you should shut the fuck up as well.
No. Because this is the problem. It may be, I suspect what we saw with Charlotte was her boiling over because she's been sitting on it for a long time.
Mm.
And, you know, possibly had she spoken up earlier and said, although it's, again, we know Charlotte York, Goldenblatt, has already proposed to herself once. If we remember, we had the, maybe we should get married. All righty, moment. So you can see why maybe Charlotte is a bit traumatized surrounding proposals, but still, it doesn't excuse that outburst.
Charlotte needs to address her issues with marriage and the institution of marriage.
And why she so badly needs to be married? What the fuck is wrong with her? Like, does she need a tax break or something? She's like,
Charlotte's actually Canadian.
She needs a green card.
All this time, she's been Canadian.
I'm a Jewish Canadian woman. Let's wind up on the least traumatic plot of the week,
yeah,
which is Miranda, a woman who has never shut the fuck up, and we respect her.
Oh, yes.
We love her. And this week, she is spreading the gospel, the gospel of, he's just not that into you.
Isn't there... There's a film called He's Just Not That Into You, isn't there?
Yeah.
And was that after this episode? 2009? Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of this episode?
With my fave, Jennifer Connelly. If you're listening, Jennifer Connelly, I love you.
Oh, she's stunning, isn't she, Jennifer mm-hmm. Connelly?
I just want to be Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, that hair. Oh.
No, muckle fat. Definitely.
But and it's when so it's when Berger is sitting with the ladies and mm-hmm. Miranda says we'd love a male perspective on this because they're discussing mm-hmm. a guy who hasn't called Miranda back, and Berger's like, no, there's no reason a guy wouldn't come up, he's just not that into you. I think Berger's definitely wrong there, but Miranda sees it as this like revelation and she finds it very refreshing.
Because we've had it before with Aiden. If you remember, Aiden wouldn't sleep with Carrie, and she realizes she's been starved of romance. Mm. So we know, and maybe Carrie could have actually no, she wouldn't have brought up an ex in front of Berger, but she might have mentioned that one to Miranda. I think Berger has a point to a degree, but of course the problem is extenuating circumstances, which sometimes genuinely you might have a really early flight. Or you might yeah. have, as we learn later in the
diarrhea.
IBS.
Yeah, it could
oh,
be.
Oh, no.
There could be any number of reasons. Do you know what that their conversation reminded me of, though, a little bit with Berger? Was mm-hmm. I was trying to think what it reminded me of. And it was when me and you had Joel Golby on the podcast. And Joel Golby, dare I say it, is a little bit of a Jack Berger.
Oh, luckily, Joel will not be listening to this episode
and he
or
wouldn't,
know who Jack
yeah,
Berger is.
Yeah, he wouldn't know what it meant if he was. But, yeah, but it's very funny when Miranda kind of, like, because Carrie's like, oh, I'm so sorry, don't listen to him. And Miranda's like, no, I love it. He's just not that into you.
He's just not that into you.
And she accosts...
It is, I mean, that is very good therapy advice because, of course, it means Miranda no longer has to internalize the actions of men, which I would say to anybody who dates men out there listening to this, which is, it's not you, it's him.
Yeah.
And actually, if you can, rather than spending your time wondering why somebody hasn't replied to a WhatsApp, it's better to go, do you know what? It's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's just on him.
It's men.
And I need someone who is going to rate me,
yeah.
kind of.
I thought it was a very clever, like, meta moment when Miranda's like, but I've spent my whole life deciphering mixed messages. And Carrie's like, I've made a career of it. And then you realise, like, Berger has just, like, blown Sex and the City's whole premise out of the water. And they're all mm-hmm. just like, oh, my God, what's happening?
He's just not that into you. Yeah. I think there's something into it. I do think there's something into it. And I think this mantra, whether it originated in Sex and the City or not, while it's incredibly pop psychology, I think there's something to it, which is if a man is being elusive, either he's a wreck or he's just not that into you.
Yeah.
Because I think when a guy, and you're not gonna convince a man to be into you.
No.
And I think that's the important thing as well. There's nothing you can do, so don't do it.
Yeah. And it's basically, yeah, it's basically just saying, like, accept it and move on. Just like,
don't waste your time.
Move
yeah.
on. Yeah.
However, when Miranda tries to pass this mantra along to some young women on the steps, it was very Gossip Girl.
It was,
on the steps.
Yeah.
Was it outside the Met or were they outside New York Library? I think it might have been New York Central Library, actually.
I was trying to work out if it was the Met steps because I was like, one of them's going to have a pot of yogurt? So Miranda would
yeah,
be
I don't think it was. I think it might have been New York Central Library, which is, of course, where Carrie gets jilted in a couple of years. But I think she passes it on and it doesn't go down well.
Bitch.
Yeah, bitch. I was going to say, it is a shame. We see so few speaking black women of colour.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shame that while she was a young professional, well, there were two women of colour. They were both young professional women, but it was a little bit of its time.
Yes. Yeah.
But I did who are we? Who are we to comment? I don't know.
I did love them though. Who the hell asked her?
Yeah, bitch. Yeah. It doesn't go down well. But I love that Miranda walks away so like, pleased, yeah. So pleased with herself. I've just saved these two young women 10 years of their life. He's just not that into you.
Great scene.
Shout out for Miranda's blueberry as well, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Oh, blackberry. Blackberry? What's a blueberry? Oh, my God. She doesn't have a blueberry. She has a blackberry or a palm pilot or whatever they call them.
The fashion. Sorry, Patricia Fields. The fashion in this episode, I wasn't keen on.
Do you know what? The worst. Can you guess what my absolute
I think so. The holes in the tights. Carrie's outfit. Yes!
No, they were knee pads. Knee pads. I thought they were the gilet.
And the short and the baggy safari shorts. No.
Yeah. Horrific.
Samantha was in like there was one Samantha outfit that I was like, that's gorgeous. But even a lot of Samantha's outfits, but fair enough, she was role playing, I guess. But yeah, it was not a sorry, Pat.
No, the knee pads on the leggings with the like anglers. Body warmer.
No.
Like you, I would expect to see that on some awful person getting out of a Chelsea tractor. Kind of.
Miranda looked stunning actually in the opening drinks scene. Mm-hmm. I think she was wearing like a red halter neck creation.
Isn't it interesting how, as the season goes on, Cynthia Nixon looked more and more stunning. Throughout. It's interesting how they... I wonder if it was just that sense of working with the hair and makeup and clothing team for as long as they did over those 6 years. Mm. They just found out what worked for her, I guess. But yeah, Miranda looks radiant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in conclusion, Dylan, are there times when women should just shut the fuck up?
Never. Not specifically never. Women. Never. But should...
Never. However...
Should some of us, of all genders, learn to mute ourselves sometimes? Perhaps.
Also, so much is about tone.
Yes.
Charlotte's insane rant at Harry could have come out very differently if she'd said, please turn off the baseball because I would really like to have a serious conversation about our future. Mm. I feel I'm working really, really hard on this. You know, I've put in a lot of effort. I give up Christ for you, which one of my favorite, me and my friend Beth. Hi, Beth, if you're listening. We enjoy that line. I gave up Christ for you, take out the trash. But for her to say, I feel like I've put in a lot to this relationship and I need to know at this stage that it's mutual and that you are as committed to this relationship as I have been. That is a very different conversation. To set the day! Set the day!
I need a gif of you doing that on the
You just missed my amazing Charlotte impression. I think mine was a bit more like a Fraggle than it was Kristen Davis.
It was like a Muppet.
Yeah, thanks. I try. Like, who are my role models? Muppets. Jennifer Connelly.
I mean, there are much worse role models to have than that.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I do not think that women should shut the fuck up. I think we all need to approach each other with compassion and I don't like arguing. I hate it.
Same. I would
go to great lengths to avoid an argument. So.
I'm a conflict phobe for sure. Yeah.
However, I do like to pick. I just know Max is in the next room saying, but yeah, don't pick a little. Just talk a little.
Yeah, that's a good.
There we go.
That's good.
Don't pick a little. And again, to finish off, Dylan, how many scrunchies?
I think 4 out of 5.
I'm going to say 5.
Really?
I think this is... There is nothing about this episode, other than the fact I hate burger, there is nothing about this episode I wouldn't improve.
Is it in the...
Because it got me in the feels. Oh. The Charlotte scene got me in the feels. So I think that's what gets it the fifth scrunchie.
For me, it loses a scrunchie. Maybe 4.5. Maybe it loses half a scrunchie because, and I didn't mention this actually, as much as I always love to see Samantha gallivanting, I thought that the episode was very well put together, except Samantha... seemed kind of absurdly removed from the rest of it and it was, to me, slightly, I don't know, just slightly off.
Well, you know why that is, don't you? It's because at this point, they couldn't even be in the same room as each other.
Oh, shit. Shit, yes. Well, we'll have to keep an eye out for that as we go mm-hmm. forward as well. God.
Yeah. They, yes. Well, we'll have a little look and we'll keep an eye on interactions between Carrie and Samantha from here on in. Mm. Join us next week when we will be watching Season 6, Episode 5, Lights, Camera, Relationship, where Burger just gets worse.
And Carrie wears one of my favourite Carrie outfits ever. I mean, it's absurd, but I love it.
Is it the Prada?
The bag. The tassel, yeah. Mm.
It's a fashion moment. Mm. We will join you then for some really, really brilliant Smith-Gerrard acting as well. And by acting, we mean his bottom. Okay then, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.